Let's start in Luke chapter 4. My preparation time, getting quiet and listening. I kept hearing this phrase come up. The trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I wasn't even sure if those two phrases were in the same passage or if it's two different things. So thank God for, how many of you are thankful we have the search feature on our Bible software now? And sure enough, it's all in one passage. And we're going to get there in a minute. But we'll start where Jesus actually quoted from this passage. And it's what I call the Articles of War. But he stopped before he got to that phrase. Okay? So in Luke 4 is where I call this the Articles of War now. It's after he had defeated Satan in the wilderness, all the temptations. He's been anointed now by the Holy Ghost for dominion. And he has embarked on healing the sick and casting out devils everywhere he goes. And his fame, it says, was spreading throughout the land. And then, as you know, he came to his hometown of Nazareth. And he, we'll pick it up there, Luke 4:16. It says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, now notice he found this particular passage. It didn't just open up there. He knew what passage he wanted to preach on. He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. See, I'm sure that passage had been read by many people down through the centuries. I mean, it's Isaiah 61. We're going to look at it here in just a minute. I'm sure many had read that passage and talking about the Messiah who's coming. But the difference is, he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now remember, this is his hometown where he grew up. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Plain language, he was saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the one that Isaiah was prophesying about." Man, that started a chain of events that you can read about in the Gospels. But now go back to Isaiah 61, because that's where he was quoting from. And that's where I found that phrase that I kept hearing in my spirit, "the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord." Isaiah 61. And really the whole passage goes, the whole chapter, I believe, is on that subject. But we're just going to go a little bit farther here. The way it's recorded in the King James, Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Well, I love this. "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Does that sound like kick down the gates and set the captives free? "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's where he stopped in Luke. But now notice. "And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." And here it is. "That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Trees of righteousness. Now keep that thinking in your mind. He is using, obviously he's talking about you. He's talking about people. That trees of righteousness. Now that's going to be really important here in a little bit. We're going to come back to this analogy of a tree, because Jesus picks up that same thought in Matthew. Now, trees of righteousness. Under the law, See, how did Paul write that? He says, under the law, the man who is righteous is the man that does the law. You understand that? That's how you tried to become righteous, by trying to keep the law. The trouble is, they were the wrong kind of tree. They had sin in their core, but they're trying to have righteousness as fruit on the limbs. That will never work. God had to change the tree. And that's really what he's talking about. Isaiah was prophesying about the day that there would be a new kind of tree on planet Earth. A tree that did not have a sin nature anymore. Trees that were the planting of the Lord, that had righteousness at their core. And if the core is righteous, the fruit will be righteous also. Glory to God. Now, this righteousness is a free gift. Go to Romans 5. Starting in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. And I always go, how much did death reign? From Adam on, how much? What percentage did death reign on people? 100%. Did death reign? Oh yeah, it reigned. Much more. That is so amazing to me. 100% is pretty much all. But much more than death reigned. They which receive the abundance of grace, now notice, and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. However much death reigned has, I'll just take my individual life. We'd be here for days maybe if I tried to go back through and tell you how much death reigned in my life before Christ. It was a bunch. Everyone can give that testimony. Death reigning. And it was that way generation after generation. Even if you tried, like the guy in Romans 7, I try and do good, but I wound up doing bad. There's a problem at the core, see. No matter how hard you try, what's at the root eventually manifests on the limb as fruit. Okay? And if it's sin, it's going to manifest there. But righteousness is a gift. Therefore, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, of course that's Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, well now notice this, boy, this is important. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You see that word made? Did you have to become a sinner when you got, were you, let me say it this way. Were you born, okay, I'm afraid they better not do it that way. I'm trying to not give people a religious out by the way I phrase things. Let's just say it this way. Man is born with that nature of sin. Let's just say it that way. You didn't have to become a sinner. You were born a sinner. Okay, now, there's an age of accountability, okay, but you were born with that, what the Bible calls the spirit of the world, which was passed down from Adam, every generation, Adam and Eve, passed it on to all of us. But notice, the whole human race, because of one man's sin, were made sinners. Not just accounted sinners. They were made sinners. In truth, they were actually made that way. Now notice, so by the obedience of one shall many be, what, same word, made righteous. Abraham had accounted righteousness. You remember when Dave would teach on that? Here's Abraham going through the promised land, and the devil comes up to him and he goes, this is my land. I got it from Adam. Who gave you the right to occupy my land? And Abraham starts going through his wallet. He said, just a minute, I'll show you by what rights he remembers. That's the American Express, no. Visa, no. Diners Club, no. Ah, here it is. It's the master charge card. Just charge it to the master. He's talking about Jesus. That's how he had the right, was on the future promise of the Messiah who would come. Abraham himself had a sin nature. Now, it's amazing to me how he obeyed God without having the nature of being born again, because nobody could be born again until Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. So Abraham had accounted righteousness, and Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, how wonderful it is when your sins are not counted against you. Amen? We do have accounted righteousness, but this is talking about something different. If it's the same way that mankind was made a sinner, we know what that means. You were made a sinner. I mean, you were a bona fide, genuine, dyed-in-the-wool sinner. Made that way. You didn't choose to be that. You were made that by one man's offense. By another man's righteousness, you were made righteous. Amen. When you believed on the Lord and however you said it, asked him into your heart, you became a new creature. You're no longer, it's not just accounted righteousness. You are righteous at your core. You are made righteous. Isn't that good stuff? It's a free gift. Now come on down to verse 20. Let's pick it up more. He says, moreover, the law entered. The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, I love this. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. How does it reign? Through righteousness unto eternal life. Now notice, there's only one way. By Jesus Christ our Lord. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he really wasn't asking how to be born again. He wasn't even really asking how to get to heaven. He was asking how Jesus was doing this. He says, no man can do these works that you... We've never seen anybody do this. No man can do these works except God be with him. I think he was thinking that Jesus was like an Old Testament prophet. Like, you know, God was with him, you know, just like Elijah or somebody like that. But Jesus, he went right to it. He says, no, I've come to introduce a new kingdom. And if you ever want to operate like me, if you want to have any chance at all of functioning in the kingdom I'm in, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to become a different kind of tree. You've got to have different sap running through you. It can't be a sin nature anymore, Nicodemus. It has to be the nature of righteousness. God has literally changed who we are. It is accounted righteousness, but it's much more than accounted righteousness. You are a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, how I grew up in the church, the focus was on the cross. And I thank God for my parents taking me to church. I thank God for every person that ever got saved, that ever went down that aisle, and all the people that's going to be in heaven, because that church, trust me, teaches salvation every single Sunday. And that's good. They preach that part correctly. But boy, the rest of it, a lot of it, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. They tell you, don't sin, and then the next sermon is you can't help it. Because you're just an old sinner saved by grace, you know, and it's the most confusing thing. You know, one pastor would tell you got two natures. You got you've got God and the devil both working inside of you. No, you don't have two natures. You're a child of the devil or you're a child of God. There's only two kinds of trees, the corrupt tree and the good tree. Amen? Now, I like how Alan says, your struggles are not you. You may be struggling with stuff in the flesh, okay? But that struggle is not you. If you're born again, you are righteous at your core. You keep on and you'll overcome that bad thing. You'll lop that limb off and it won't be producing nothing anymore. That's really another message. Now, go to 1 John. I want you to see these three verses. We're just going to look at three verses. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. While you're going there, I want to read you another verse. It's in Jude chapter 1. Just seeing if anybody's paying. Jude, there's only one chapter. I'm teasing. Okay. Jude 24. Sorry. There's a verse in there that we hardly ever preach on. It's right near the end. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." There's someone able to keep you from falling. "And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." See, God has placed someone on the inside of you. I say, "Unto him that is able." Well, him that is able is the Lord Jesus Christ. And his nature has become your nature. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Righteousness in the old covenant, man trying to live holy. But I love how every time I hear Nathan teach on it, a lot of people have, Nathan's preaching it so high that the atmosphere is kind of hard for some people to breathe there. It's so, you know, he's not messing around. You hear what I'm saying? But he says, no, righteousness pushes out. He kept saying, "I'd be trying to do pornography," and righteousness kept pushing out. That's exactly right. It's coming from his core. It's coming from the inside out. I remember that when I first got saved. I guess I was backslidden, came, whatever you want to call it. When I was 33 years old, I really had an experience with the Lord, and I've never gone back since. And that first week, I mean, I'd gotten so far away from the Lord. That first week, righteousness began pushing out. I wasn't going to church here and nobody preach it to me. It was coming from there's a new sheriff in town. And it was coming, it was like, this pornography, it's got to go. And I'm going, bet me. Spend all that money, what? Now, this music, it's got to go. I'm going, what? All this stuff, you know. And it was coming from the inside out. The tree had changed the core. The sap was different. There was a different life running through me. The planting of the Lord. A tree of righteousness. You find 1 John? I was three verses. I hardly ever do this anymore, but three times in the book of John, this phrase comes up. Doeth righteousness. These are the three verses. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, talking about Jesus, you know that everyone that, what's that phrase? Doeth righteousness, is born of him. In other words, they got the same nature he has. He does righteousness. If you're born of him, you do righteousness. Do you realize how radically far, how different that is from the radical grace message that's being preached out there? Oh no, all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, the way they say it. Doesn't really even matter how you live. Now, we're not recommending sin, but even if you stay in sin, you're still the righteousness of God. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That doesn't mean you're not struggling. I don't know anybody that's not struggling with something. But the very fact that you're struggling and not enjoying, you know what I mean by that? Your conscience is still alive. You're still getting a whooping every time you do it. That struggle is not really you. You are the one overcoming the problem. Look at this one, 1 John 3:7. Little children, don't let the radical grace teachers deceive you. Oh, I'm sorry. I may have them. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Ultimately, it comes down to this. You are what you do, not what you say. I can stand in the garage and call myself a Chevy. Doesn't make me a car, does it? No. You are what you do. Eventually, yes, sir. Come on. Eventually, if the tree has changed, the fruit will change. If decades go by and the fruit is still the same, the tree did not change. Last one. 1 John 3:10. Y'all come on Sunday night. What do you expect? Milkshake? You're the diehards. We're going to have steak in here. 1 John 3:10. If you're lucky, I'll run it over a fire just a little bit for you. 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest. In other words, this is how you know the children of God. You can tell. And the children of the devil. You can discern them. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. John, do you have to be so blunt about it? Do you have to just tell the unvarnished truth? Neither he that loveth not his brother. And I wrote here, this is my note on that verse, or those three verses. If the core of the tree is righteous, the fruit on the limbs will be righteous. All right. Go to Matthew 7. My letter, I write a letter every month. I don't know if y'all know that or not. It's at the website under the resources section in the left margin. There's dozens of them there. I've been writing them for many years. They're free if you want them. This is this month's letter. I'm just going to read it. I think it'd be the best way to do it. Matthew 7, let's look at verses 13 and 14. Enter ye. In fact, let me go there myself. I have it on the page, but I want to, might need to expand a little. Yes. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now notice, many there be which go in thereat. How many? Many. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and how many?
Few.
There be that find it. Let me just read this letter to you. In American society today, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been so watered down by man's reasonings that I wonder if many people who say they are Christians have ever really heard the truth to begin with. There is so much greasy grace which manifests itself in all manner of sin and depravity, even among those who profess that they are followers of Christ. Many today say that God's grace covers everything, so they profess Christ with their lips, but in their daily lives you can tell little difference between them and the world. But the only true gospel is the one that Jesus Christ himself brought us. Then I quote that verse. Let me read it again. Enter ye at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Straight is the gate means Jesus is the only way to salvation. There is no other path to God. Narrow is the way. It is a path of love, obedience, and holiness that leads to life. Many say that the gate is wide and that the way is broad, but that is the path to hell. Few choose surrendering their life to Jesus alone and to walk the narrow path of holiness. To help us understand what he meant, Jesus gave us the illustration of the fruit trees. Now, you're still there in Matthew 7? I'm about to pick it up here, and we'll just pick it up in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They say they're Christians, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, get this. I didn't get this. I wasn't clear about this for many years. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now get this. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Now get this. A good tree. It's like, here we go again. Jesus is going, Jane, see the ball. He is trying to get this down where we cannot misunderstand this. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Is that a picture? Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. So I wrote this. He said, beware of these false prophets. In our day, the false teachers are proclaiming this. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. God's grace covers all of your sin. No matter how you choose to live. Don't worry. Most people will make it to heaven if you read their books and listen to them. I even heard one of them recently say on TV that people are born saved. That's one branch of universalism. Okay? The people are born saved and they cannot lose their salvation. Most of them don't go that far, but some do. But let me ask you, what is the end result of that kind of doctrine? If you are born saved and you cannot lose your salvation, then it doesn't matter how you live. Does that sound like a narrow way to you? I mean, that doesn't sound like a narrow way to me. Then notice the illustration Jesus gives of the fruit trees. I love this. This is the illustration, see, all the way back from Isaiah that Jesus was quoting as part of his mission. Before Jesus is through, there is going to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Got this? All right. Now notice the illustration he gives here of the fruit trees. It is so simple. A good tree produces good fruit. A corrupt tree produces bad fruit. While I was meditating this passage, one day the Holy Spirit said to me, you might want to write this down. It's simple, but it'll change your life. The only way for the fruit to change is for the tree itself to change. It must become a different kind of tree. What if I said, you must be born again, Nicodemus? Nicodemus, I can't even talk with you about the kingdom. You're in a kingdom of darkness. I'm in a kingdom of light. He could have said to him, you're from below. I am from above. You're born of man. I'm born of God's spirit. He could have said all of those things that he did say at various times. You must become a different kind of tree, Nicodemus. You must be born of the spirit. He didn't just say born again in that same passage. You must be born of the spirit, born of water and the spirit. Isn't that right? You've got to become a different kind of tree. And that is exactly what happens when a person is genuinely born again. Their nature changes from one of sin and death, passed down from the first man, Adam, to the nature of love and righteousness imparted by the last Adam, Jesus Christ. A truly born again person becomes a different kind of tree at the core of their being. Again, every time I hear Nathan say, righteousness was pushing out of me, it was pushing out. That's so perfect. That's exactly the right illustration. What causes the apple to come on a tree? From the core of the tree up through the branches, it's pushing out fruit, isn't it? Perfect. The very nature itself is changed. It doesn't mean that Christians won't be tempted to sin because they're still living in fallen flesh that has the motions of sin working in its members. Remember, don't ever forget Galatians 5. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then he lists the war. These two are the contrary one to the other. The flesh wants what it wants. The Spirit wants righteousness. The flesh wants sin. And he told me one time right here at Calling in the Lost, he says, every moment of every day, one of them's on the tree and one's not. One's on the cross and one's not. Your flesh is winning or your spirit's winning. Because they are contrary, the one to the other. But you're not your flesh. Not really. You are the planting of the Lord. See? And we need preachers that keep telling us that single, pure message, that clarion call from heaven like the sound of Gabriel's trumpet. You are the righteousness of God. You are a righteous tree. You are the planting of the Lord. That's who you are. Sin does not come from your new nature. You are a person that does righteousness. Deal with the flesh. That's why God gave us. That's why over and over says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. It's your members you got to mortify. But you yourself are the mortifier. The flesh is the mortifiee. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is your helper. He doesn't do it for you, but he will help you. Okay. I'm going to start that paragraph again. A truly born-again person becomes a different kind of tree at the core of their being. That's what Jesus was saying. Their very nature is changed. It doesn't mean that they won't ever be tempted to sin because, I mean, Jesus was tempted for crying out loud. Because they're still living in fallen flesh that has the motions of sin working in its members. But they have a new nature at their core. They are new creatures, and the fruit of their lives will change. Now, all of it doesn't happen overnight. Has anyone else found that out? My dad would plant these little peach trees. Trust me, they're little bitty trees, you know. Next year, they're this tall. You go out, you don't want to go out and get one of them little hard peaches that first year. It's a genuine peach, but that thing is bitter. You ain't going to want that peach. That thing's got to mature sometimes for years before you really start getting good fruit off of it. Amen? All right? So give yourself some growing time. But I'm telling you, the fruit will change or the tree didn't change. It always gets real quiet right there. The fruit of righteousness from their new nature will change their path from being broad. What did he just say? It'll change your path from being broad like the world's, and it will become narrow, the highway of righteousness. It is a narrow path. Amen? Jesus makes it very clear. We're going to look at one of the most scary verses that ever came from the lips of Jesus here. But he's making it very clear so nobody can misunderstand it. Jesus makes it very clear, if there is never any change in the fruit, the tree did not change. Now, what he means by that, religion is not enough. Dressing up a corrupt tree in religious trappings does not change the core of the tree. Now, specifically, think of the Pharisees, who everyone looked at from outward appearance. You know, the washing of the hands and of the cups and wearing the robes and all of the things that they did. And they'd blow the trumpet when they're about to give money. Everybody would look at them. He says, on the outside, yeah, you clean the cups and everything, but on the inside, you're full of extortion. He said they, through their doctrine, they were literally devouring widows' houses. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? Dressing up the tree like a Pharisee does not change the core of the tree. That's why Jesus did away with that whole system. He took away the first that he may establish the second. But we are in a better covenant. Established on better promises. Okay. Here's that scary. Let me read this paragraph and then read that scary verse. Jesus makes it very clear. If there's never any change in the fruit, 10 years go by. 20 years go by. Same fruit. Still at the bar. Still drunk. Still sleeping around. Still, just name it. 10 years. I don't know how long. I'm just saying, if you watch and that tree, that fruit never changes. Did the tree change? Same old dead tree it was before. Well, dead tree. Same old corrupt tree that it was before. Religion is not enough. Dressing up a corrupt tree in religious trappings does not change the core of the tree. Eventually, what the tree is at its core determines the fruit that is produced on the limbs. That is why later on in this same passage, come right on down now, Matthew 7, here's the scary verses starting in verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess to them. Now note, look how strong this is. I never knew you. It's not like I knew you and you backslid. I never knew you. Yet they thought Jesus was their Lord. He says, I never knew you. Now, here it is. Here's the key. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice Jesus rejected them because they continued to work iniquity. Iniquity was still the fruit of their lives, which means they never became a new tree to begin with. They were never born again. They might have joined a church, might have become an elder in the church, might have been involved in the building program. I've known a lot of people like this. Yet, if the life is exposed, you find all kinds of corruption below the surface that you don't see, but the Lord sees. They never became a new tree. They were never born again. See, when he says, I never knew you. And the image here, again, is the Pharisees. Now, see, Nicodemus, I believe, made it. Nicodemus came. How many of you think he wound up getting born again? I believe he did. But what about all those that rejected Jesus? Yet they had all the trappings. They were the looked up to ones. People thought they were the holy of holies. But they never got born again. I don't think they made it. And they're still, through their doctrine, knowing what they're doing, devouring widows' houses, and continuing to do it. The tree didn't change. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, in our day, not the Pharisees, many in churches have said the sinner's prayer. They may have worked in the church, but they never surrendered their heart and lives to Jesus. I fear many today think that they are okay just because they said the sinner's prayer years ago. But words alone do not save us. We must surrender our heart to Jesus and allow his nature to become our nature. There is only one way to build your house upon the rock, and that is by doing his sayings. That requires surrender. If I had time, I would look up the other verses in John that says, this is how you know that you know him. Y'all remember what it was? How did you know that you know him? If you keep his commandments. If you do his sayings. That's how you know that you know him. Well, I'm on my way to heaven. Are you doing his commandments? No. Are you still working iniquity? Yes. Corrupt tree. Hear all the shouting? This is what's happening, see. We're approaching revival. God is raising. His word itself has never been lowered. But religion has lowered the bar way down below where Jesus put it. I didn't bring that other verse. There's another verse that says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those that are his. Remember that? The Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He is calling this church and you listening and all of his people around the world. I'm telling you, the path is getting narrower by the day. It's getting narrower by the day for your individual walk. And even things that might have been his good or acceptable will a year ago, where we're going, that path is more narrow than that. Now, this is not something. Again, I got to say this part. You are not your struggles. I don't know anybody that's not struggling with things. Maybe there is somebody. I just said, I don't know. Okay? And it helps me to know that even Jesus himself was tempted in every point like we are. Being tempted is not a sin. But what Jesus is, you know, in Revelations, who is it that got all the goodies? Who is it that gets to him that overcomes? I will give this to him that overcomes, to him that overcomes over and over again, to him that overcomes. That's who we are. You, my friend, are the trees of righteousness. Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares. This world is full of tares. That's the unborn again people have that spirit of the world passed down to Adam, from Adam to them. We are the wheat planted amongst the tares, and we're trying to get the tares born again. You are the trees of righteousness in this earth. You are God's hope in this earth, and you are the planting of the Lord. And at your core, you are a good tree, and you produce good fruit. Talking about fruit trees, right? Remember when we always teach about the woman with the issue of blood who kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. Do you know there's another passage that said he was walking through a village and as many as touched the hem of his garment were made whole? I just saw that image now in the context of a fruit tree. So full of the life of God. All you had to do. Well, how do you guys get fruit off a tree? Now, I know you go to the grocery store, but I mean in the country. Don't you just go and pick the fruit off the tree? And I saw that picture right there. That's where he's bringing us. So full of life that life is just hanging off your limbs. And if they just come, that's all him. It's him in you. Don't ever get the big head. It's him in you. But so full of that life that people can come and just pick the healing fruit. And you not even know their name. Just come and touch your clothes and get it. With Peter, they just had to get in shadow length. They didn't even touch his clothes. Man, I like that. That a good little... See, I write those things down. They become lessons later. But isn't that good? That's the perfect picture of Jesus, the fruit tree. People just coming and getting the fruit of healing. As many as touched his clothing. They got the fruit of healing, didn't they? And you are the planting of the Lord. You are the trees of righteousness. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, go home and worship him for that.